Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast, heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at this same time. And I'm so glad you joined me as we're continuing on in a message, The Power of an Anointed Mind. But before we do that, let's join our hearts in prayer. I frequently do that as we begin a week's worth of broadcasting because the Lord knows where each one of us are at. He knows the struggles you're going through, and He is a God who hears and answers prayer. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. And so let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank You that Your ears are open to the cries of the righteous. And Lord, there are times, sometimes we go through struggles and battles, and Lord, we feel that our prayers aren't being heard. We don't understand what's going on. But Father, there's a time and a place where we can stand in the gap and intercede for those who are so weakened because of the battles and the warfare. And so, Father, I do that right now for those who are so weak, that have been so tested and tried, and Lord, others who are understand the dynamics and how sometimes the spiritual warfare can be so intense. Paul even wrote, he said, we despaired of life because of some of the battles they were going through. So Father, we thank You that Jesus intercedes for us. Whatever we ask, we know He takes our prayers and He intercedes personally for us at the Father's right hand. And so, Father, we thank You right now that You're hearing our prayers, and You see everyone who is struggling right now, everyone who is not in a place of peace, everyone who is in turmoil because of the warfare, the work of the enemy, that person who is dealing with a spirit of anger right now. Father, I rebuke that. Lord, You have written in Your Word, You have said in Your Word that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, and I take authority over that spirit of anger that would seek to just latch onto this person. And I release, Father, the love of God, the peace of God, forgiveness for the hurt and for the wrongdoing. And Lord, that they will be able to put this matter into Your hands. Father, I thank You for Your goodness. That one who is suffering with arthritis in their hands and in their feet, in their ankle area. Father, I rebuke the pain in Jesus' name, and I thank You now for the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And Father, in faith, Father, we can receive this, knowing, Father, bottom line, You have a time and a season. Sometimes we pray, Lord, we don't see an immediate answer to our prayers, but we know You're a good God, and we know that we have an appointed time for healing, for restoration, for deliverance from warfare. But Lord, even if those who are in intense warfare now, Paul exhorts us, having done all, to stand. And so, Father, we pray for whatever needs are represented in everyone who's listening, everyone who's joining their hearts in prayer, that You will minister and meet that need in the mighty, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise You, and we thank You for it. Amen. Well, the message that I'm continuing from last week is the power of an anointed mind. But before we go into it, let me share a passage of scripture found in the 12th chapter of Romans. Paul is saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, He's able to give us all the mercy, strength, and help and grace we need, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So he tells us that our physical bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. He does that in other places. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, surrendered to do whatever God wants. And then he makes a very powerful statement in verse 2, and be not conformed or made similar or like to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's why he is talking in this entire chapter not only about attitude, but about actions, because it's out of our heart, it's out of our thinking, it's out of the things deep within us that out of the abundance heart of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is internalized within us, our thoughts, our feelings, that will, it just without fail, has a way of expressing itself. And if we're filled with joy and peace and love inside, that is what is going to manifest. I mean, we might try to cover, but those who are really walking in the discernment of the Holy Ghost, the way the Lord has a way of letting us know sometimes when friends or loved ones are in battle or carrying burdens, and we don't even have to ask many questions. We can just tell by the countenance, by their actions or lack of actions. I know when, years ago when Brother Glass would call the office and I answered the phone, he'd say, "What's wrong?" He could tell by the very tone of my voice that there was something going on. So, beloved, thank the Lord for the blessed Holy Spirit, but his desire is for us to have the mind of Christ. And so I'm sharing things that it's my earnest heart's desire that you will be able to hear and apply these to your lives. Some of you might say, "Well, you know, Sister Glass, I know all those things, so I'm doing them." Praise God. But beloved, there are multitudes of babes in Christ who are just learning to walk. They've been redeemed, they've been saved, but they're learning to walk in the ways of righteousness by not only reading the Word of God, praying, but also applying the Word of God to their lives. That's why it's important. And some, you know, they can be years in the Lord, even serving the Lord for decades, and yet they haven't grown that much spiritually because they're not applying the Word of God. And so why it's so important we have an anointed mind, the mind of Christ, is that we need to look at ourselves from the divine perspective of our Heavenly Father. And unfortunately, and I have to declare and confess, I was in that number. As I was unsaved, I had a terrible self-image. I was very insecure. I suffered from an inferiority complex. And unfortunately, there are many Christians today, they might put on a bold front, I'm blessed. But God knows way down deep in your heart, how you feel about yourself. And there are multitudes of Christians who suffer from a defeatist attitude. They have a negative self-image. They may not talk about it, but deep inside, they don't feel as competent, as capable, as qualified as the next person. And the fact is, you know what? That's why the scripture tells us don't compare ourselves one with another, because, beloved, you are unique. God put special gifting, special talents in you. Our IQ levels may be different. That doesn't make any difference. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The wise, professing themselves to be wise, have become fools. The knowledge of this world is foolishness to God, unless they understand the principles of God. And God reveals these things. Remember, Jesus rejoiced. That actual Greek word is that he twirled around. He was happy. He was so excited because, "Father, thou hast revealed these things to children and babes." So we're an entirely different kingdom than the world. But part of God's work of the Holy Spirit is to help us to have the image that God wants us to have about ourselves. And what is self-esteem or self-image? Well, a low self-esteem is what we think and feel about ourselves as human beings. Well, that's just self-esteem. And so a lot of what we feel about ourselves, we've been taught or conditioned to believe, or perhaps through circumstances which have happened to us in earlier years. Things happened perhaps in childhood that instilled this attitude of no self-worth. And unfortunately, to a large degree, a lot of nominal churchianity has reinforced this kind of belief and theology. Because as creatures of the fall, our old nature knows, we know it intrinsically, its lack of redeeming qualities before God. Therefore, Many, even though they might mean well in the pulpit, they've carried over that feeling. They've broadcast it. They have communicated that feeling by teaching the people that they're just nothing. They're just poor, miserable sinners. And somehow God has condescended to tolerate us. But beloved, the facts are totally opposite of that kind of thinking. A familiar passage we know so well and have heard mentioned so many times in sermons, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, that was not a cheap gift. And he didn't send his Son to die so we could live because we weren't worth the saving. God is not willing for us to perish. And before we received Jesus in our lives, we were lost. We were full of sin. We were degraded, depraved. We had a fallen nature. We were perishing, brutal, unloving, disobedient, rebellious. That's just a little of what we were in varying conditions and amounts, okay? But in that condition, we certainly weren't very worthy as individuals. But when we came to the Lord, when we became a new creature, he gave us a new heart, a new law in our minds, and he gave us a new position as new creatures in Christ. Well, my time has flown, and we're, again, just moving into the subject. We've got so much to share, and I hope you can be with us as we continue on this week. I invite you to tune in at this same time, or if you miss a broadcast, want to rehear it, please go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can listen anytime at your convenience. But as I always do, beloved, this is a ministry of prayer and intercession and correspondence. One of the joys of my life is being able to answer personal correspondence that comes in. Now, if you email a prayer need, I will confirm and I will certainly pray. But if you want a personal letter or interaction back, I invite you to share your mailing address because that's one of the joys of my life. I've loved to be able, and I'm very familiar with some of the folks I've never met, but I'm very much involved spiritually in their lives because I'm praying for needs they share. I love you. I thank you for joining me. I pray for you every day, my UCM partners, my radio family. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,